At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you, Jay Binkley filling in for Cody today and tomorrow. We are awaiting Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Hollywood Brown, Trent McDuffie, all of them back for game week as the bye week is over. Practice today. We'll be keeping an eye also on the practice reports because I think everybody wants to know, is Josh Simmons a full participant today? And even if he is, I don't think that means he's playing on Sunday, but we'll see if Andy offers any bit of insight. I'll be honest, I don't know if we're going to get it, but that's why we're going to all listen together here in just a little bit to find that out. Otherwise, right now, as I told you, without hearing Andy speak yet, I would lean that Jalen Moore is the starting
because,
left tackle.
Again, this is what Andy Reid said on Monday.
Mm-hmm. I think Pete, what we'll do is just see where we're at here. And, you know, we know we've got a good player in there now, and we know what Josh is capable of and all that, so we'll just see where we're at when when they get back.
Well, they're back now because Tuesday's the off day in the NFL, so that was what he said Monday, so they're not.
Remember, he's talking before practice. Only Fridays is when Andy talks after, so we still might get a little bit of a, well, let's just see how he does at practice today. That might be the answer we get. I also honestly, so that's one thing I really want to hear what's up with Pacheco, because remember, he's got that MCL sprain. He did not play in the Bills game. They, at the time, a couple week injury. All right, it's been a couple weeks, but if he's not available, that's where I once again will push Rashard Smith. I think Worthy needs to be more of an extension of the run game, as we were discussing yesterday on the show.
And Elijah Mitchell will get his chance at some point. Andy Reid typically stashes guys like he did Jim McKinnon for a few of those years before unleashing him about the midway point of the season. But Andy did say with Mitchell, because there's a reason why he's still on the team. He does have 4.32 speed. We know that.
Yeah, I mean, but Elijah Mitchell doesn't. He can't even be active.
I agree with you, but it's a big loyalty issue with him. It's why you see the same guys come back. It's why Hardman's been back. I know he's with the Bills now on the practice squad, right, but he's been back here. It's why Juju's back here. It's why Pinnell's been back here three times now. It's that familiarity. There is a sense of loyalty to this team, and that's how hard it is to know this playbook. That's why Clyde played, and I get it. He had a big game against the Bills, but that was during COVID. That was a long time ago. But the pass protection, he did bring up pass protection. Well, we trust Clyde in pass protection.
They didn't use him for pass protection.
In the limited time that he did play, but he offered that up is why he was elevated instead of Mitchell.
Elijah Mitchell, whatever. I mean, it doesn't really matter anymore at this point. Like,
you will see him at some point.
Maybe he's active, but like, if I have a choice between Breshard Smith getting four more carries or Elijah Mitchell being active for the first time in 2025 and getting three carries, give me those three for Breshard Smith, please. I don't need them to be for Elijah Mitchell all of a sudden.
I'm just seeing that loyalty angle.
Yeah, I hear you.
Previous experience with this team.
But why would they ranks be loyal? Would they be loyal to Elijah Mitchell? The dude has never played a game for
Andy Reid. No, not with that. With Clyde.
Yeah, with Clyde.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that loyalty issue does go over everything else with this team.
Over Breshard Smith at this point?
Breshard would definitely deserves more carries. I mean, this guy's toughness and the way he moves and just his fluidity and what he does and breaking tackles, things that he was not exactly known for being a former wide receiver that converted into running back. Yeah, he's been a breath of fresh air. So let's hope that those carries start going up and not looking at his average because, again, you can keep a running back down. Missouri found this out with the Mod Hardy. You keep feeding him, and all of a sudden, 45-yard touchdown later when they get three carries in the first half. So you give a running back more of an opportunity. I would like to see Breshard get that instead of just what he did against the Raiders. More carries.
Someone requested while we were waiting for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, we were talking about fights and the woman that set up the teenagers' fights, and Drew was talking about how many fights he's been in. Someone wanted you, do you have a fighting story? Someone said, Bink fighting story. Do you have one? Whether it was, were you fighting?
No. Well, I almost got in one.
How recent? When's the last time you almost got into a fight?
It was in my 20s.
That long ago?
That was with
like legitimately. Like there wasn't a time where somebody came up to you and said, "You know what,
no,
Bink?
I'll tell you what.
I heard what you said on your show the other day.
It was at a bar, and this guy comes in, you know, sweater tied around the neck and that kind of thing. He starts peeing on my buddy's foot. It's like, hurry up.
What?
And I was like, what? And so I turned around. I was in the stall. I turned around and started peeing on this guy's feet.
You were in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
I turned around and started peeing. I said, behind the stall. And I said, who are you talking to? And then I grabbed him, and then it was quickly broken up. But not a lot of fighting.
Were your guys' pants pulled up at this time, please, while you guys were yelling at each other?
Of course.
Okay.
But there's always been that guy at the bar that starts things.
Andy Reid is talking right now.
As far as the injuries go, really the only one that won't practice today is Pacheco. Everybody else will go before the challenge of playing Denver, good football team, well coached. Sean's done a nice job up there, as our coordinators have. So look forward to being in Denver, which is a great venue for football and great for the National Football League with two good teams playing each other. So that time's yours.
Andy, you referenced this, but you've had some good matchups with Sean Payton in the last few years. Just what makes his team so difficult to go up against?
Yeah, good players, good coaches. You know that they've got good schemes. They're well coached with them, and they play hard. Yeah. He does a nice job with it.
And you mentioned this run defensive lines that you play against. Obviously, this is a pretty good one. What stands out?
Yeah, that's a good point because that's really a strength of theirs on the defensive side. They got a good defense, but I mean that D line, it starts with them. It's a nice challenge for our offensive line, and like I had mentioned before, we've had this string of good D lines that we've been going against, and so it gives you another opportunity to continue to grow as a group and look forward to that challenge. I mean that's what this is all about. You love that you get to play a good football team.
What growth have you seen from Bo Nix from his rookie year until now?
Yeah, he's picking up what Sean's asking him to do and then executing it and doing a good job with that. And that's a primary responsibility of the quarterback. You're going to be given a scheme, and you got to become a master of it and then make everybody around you better. And he's done a nice job with that.
Coach, on that subject, when you get that second year, you know, you had that early success. He's had some bumps in the road since then. You know, defenses, how much easier does it get to prepare for them? And, you know, now that they've got the tape on him, is that why he's having some struggles now?
Yeah, listen, I mean, they kind of all go through a little bit of that, but he's also won games, which ends up being the most important thing and during tough times. But you see that around the league, you see that with all these guys. Teams have an opportunity to study them. They've got to up their game, and then they continue to grow. They grow for a few years, and then they either make it or they don't make it, you know, at that point. So to be able to sustain it for years is, you know, quite a tribute to these guys. But he's a young guy that's continuing to see some different curveballs there, you know.
Andy, how beneficial was this bye week just with the timing of the season? Just trying to, you had mentioned the self-evaluation on Monday, but getting the guys back yesterday, just how beneficial could you tell that they're ready to get back, knowing that what's in front of them this last stretch?
Yeah, sure. They understand that. And they were out there. And we can go lock ourselves in the office and do that stuff. They're out there, and they're hearing, they hear everything, so and see everything with the time off. And so they understand. They're focused, locked in, ready to go, ready to get back to work and get better. And that's, as a head coach, that's all you can ask for.
Coach, one of the, Hairston, after the Bills game, said he was kind of picking up some tendencies from Xavier, trying to figure out what he's doing. When you guys went back and self-scouted, did you see some things like that happen? How much do you have to kind of guard against that week to week in this league?
Yeah, so everybody's got a tendency somewhere along the line. That's how it works. You know, if you watch enough tape, you're going to see certain things. So the objective is to give them that against different looks. So we look at all that and try to keep track of that, and we ask players to do the same thing. So, and Xavier's a smart kid. He gets all that, but I'm not sure, you know. We'll see.
Andy, when you're in the bye week and doing the self-scout, how much do you think you're learning from your successes versus how much you're learning from, say, the Buffalo game? I mean, is it loom larger?
Yeah, you know, what we try to do, and I think with technology now, it's different than it was a few years back. You're able to stay up on that. You've got the Frasers and Marks around the league here where you've got these guys that kind of keep you abreast of what's going on, you know, what your tendencies are, what you need to work on in certain, or show in certain spots and down in distances, all that. So they do a pretty good job. So when you go back and you put it all together and look at it, you're kind of fine-tuning what you've already gone through. You just have more time to do it. And is it beneficial? Yeah, I mean, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So if we can do better, then it's been a good evaluation period.
How much does the challenge of someone like Nick Benito, 15, impact throwing Josh back in the fire? You know, does it impact that at all?
Yeah, we'll just see. Let's see. I haven't even got him out for a practice yet. So let's see how all that goes. He'll jump in and see what he can do and mix it up out there and do what we do. And then we'll go from there. So I just want to see him back out. I'm glad he's back and going.
Sorry.
Coach Opanga, what does he bring at safety?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's a good add. He's been banged up a little bit in years past, but he's playing his tail off right now. Smart. Real smart kid. Good leverage guy. So if they ask him to stay in outside leverage, he's going to stay in outside leverage. He's going to discipline it. And then if they ask him to get in the box and blitz and do that dirty work, he's all in there too. So he's a good football player. Real good.
Matt. Coach, with Josh, you mentioned you just want to see him get on the field. What would you hope to see from him the next couple of days that would tell you that he's ready to play on Sunday?
Yeah, let's just see what kind of shape he's in. You get back into the football swing. You know, so let's see. Let's see how he is. You know, I'm sure he's going to be okay, but we'll see.
What do you ask for you, Jesse? Yeah, Andy, a lot of division games coming up. Just how much pride do you take in the consistency to win 9 straight of these in a row, and the work that it takes to be able to accomplish them?
Yeah, well, it's important that you spend time on that. And the thing about our division here is it's strong. Strong division. The AFC West is tremendously strong. And, you know, we're all trying to shoot for the same thing. And they're all good teams, and they're well coached.
Coach, Denver's won a lot of close games throughout this season. Of course, you've been a part of, you know, winning some close games here. How tough is it to play a team that's won, you know, so close to the games like that?
Yeah, that's what Serena was saying. I mean, they win. They find a way to win. And so we've been through that. And the way that this league is right now, you got to be able to do that. You know, the parity in this thing is pretty crazy. So, especially in AFC West.
Sam, last one.
Just to build off what Matt asked, but would it be a lot to ask a guy who's missed a month, 5 weeks to jump right back in? I mean, I'm sure that's part of your evaluation, I guess, is what
yeah,
I'm asking.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I've got to see what he's got rolling. And I've seen a couple practices, so I'll be able to figure it out somewhere here, hopefully.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, so that was Andy Reid speaking live. You were going to hear from Patrick Mahomes in just a second. You're listening to KFNZ FM and AM HD1 and HD2 Kansas City and Odyssey Station here on 96.5 The Fan. Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley with you. So at the end about Josh Simmons. So he is practicing today. It sounds like if we are to completely go right off of what Andy Reid is saying, that they don't know yet his availability because they don't know what kind of shape he is fully in yet. And they want to see him practice, which he will do here in a short while. But then the last question was like, and it's a fair question. I think that's even if you look at a practice, can you just jump right back in there, Bink, after missing a month of football? Can you, meaning jump back in and play left tackle in a divisional game on the road on Sunday?
Well, he said, what? I'm sure he'll be okay. He did have that caveat in, didn't he?
The first question.
I'm sure it'll be okay.
Yep.
It's tough. I always thought like if it was during game week that he'd come back, but just coming back for the bye because he did come back at the beginning of it, so get more acclimated to the system and working out. Not sure what all they did with him.
Well, during the bye week, he can only do his own stuff.
Yeah, his own stuff. Was he there at the facility? Was he working out? What was he doing? But he did show up then. I think it's easier to make that transition, and definitely when you're going against Benito and Zach Allen, which nobody brings up Zach Allen, but this dude's just as good as Benito is for that Denver pass rush with the 46 sacks. Not all Benito. Not all about Nick Benito in this game like people want you to believe it's all about him. It's not. It's that front that the Broncos have. But, yeah, it's going to be needed this game with Simmons and then, you know, having Taylor and hopefully back at this point. I guess he felt halfway decent when he came back from the trip. But, yeah, see him practicing. And like you said, we're not going to hear anything until Fast Friday. But it'll be all questions about your starting left tackle on Friday, you would assume.
We'll see also what's the practice report say. You know, he's going to practice, but is he? And it sounds like he'll be a full participant, but we'll get confirmation.
There'll be pictures of him stretching in the news tonight.
Yeah, and will he be a full participant? It sounds like they're expecting him to be. Now, no Isaiah Pacheco practicing today. It's Wednesday. It's not a sure thing yet, but I think it's safe to say very unlikely he's playing on Sunday against Denver. Don't you think that's fair to say?
100%. What we'll look at the practice. It'll be out the practice schedule. Who full participant, limited or none? Mm-hmm. That'll come out. Typically Friday, of course, that's the day that if you don't practice on Friday, you typically don't play. Although he has made occasions with Snead at times and with Chris Jones, but very, very limited. Almost getting like the Lawrence Taylor type treatment.
But if Pacheco doesn't practice tomorrow, even on a Thursday, and he's already not practicing today after the bye week.
Now, if he does go out and practice Friday, I think that's debatable at that point.
Okay. Look, this feels like a game in which Isaiah Pacheco holds even more value than you would typically expect.
It's going to come down to who you have elevating, Mitchell or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Who's going to be that other back that's elevated for this game?
Yeah, and my stance on that again is like they care. It's important to them, but I don't care who gets elevated because I believe that should just be Breshard Smith and Kareem Hunt. Now, that's not what they're going to do. That's why I guess I should care. To answer the question, then it might as well be Elijah Mitchell. I don't really know if it matters. I'm just saying that I don't want whoever they elevate should not get more playing time than Breshard Smith. Should not. I don't want them stealing carries.
Clyde in there getting two or three carries.
No.
Or how did Kareem feel after getting more carries in the Buffalo game? Can you trust continuing to get him more and more carries?
Playing an altitude.
Do you feel confident with that? Yes.
All of that.
And will Breshard start to get more carries? I guess the question.
Look, we're over halfway through the season. I know it takes time for a rookie to build the trust, but like to me, if you don't have your starting running back Isaiah Pacheco, a must-win divisional game, who provides some explosiveness to your offense, nobody else in that backfield besides Breshard Smith does. And I know people will pinpoint right now if you have not watched the games and you just box score it and you say, well, Breshard Smith's averaging like 2.9 carries or 2.0 yards per carry or whatever it is.
Limited.
14 of those carries were in that Raiders game where everybody knew they were just run it and get the hell out of here. Right, that's all it was
very
late
limited.
In that game.
Remember Xavier Worthy in his rookie year? He started getting more and more action. Of course, he needed to step up because Brown was hurt. He had to, but he got better and better once the midway point of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like week 8, basically on, for Xavier Worthy, he started really elevating his play, and they trusted him a lot more. with what they did. They went to him a lot more, and he really elevated. Yeah, he was always going to be counted on because he's a rookie and probably wasn't figuring to be that when he first got to the Chiefs. But maybe with Rashard, now that we're at the turn of the second half of the season, the second half actually hit at halftime of the Buffalo game for the Chiefs. So we'll see what happens with him going forward.
Anything else stand out? He was asked about the Raiders, the Broncos, and Bo Nix, and like, and he's never going to say that's anything that's not complimentary of his opponent.
You're not gonna say, well, he's taking a step back.
I never put a ton of stock in like when, and I get why the question's asked, but when someone, what do you think of Bo Nix? Like, he's only going to say positive stuff. I mean, Andy's never going to be like, and most coaches are never not going to say anything positive.
The Broncos are taking a different approach to this. There's no bulletin board material, at least to this point. Because Nick Bonino was asked about the Chiefs, and basically, to paraphrase, he was basically, well, we got to get through them. It wasn't anything derogatory or anything. It was, we got to get through them. We understand that's the king of the division. We got to get through that team. So they're playing this game very much similar to the Chiefs, no bulletin board material, which the Chiefs do materialize with it when some players say it. But the Broncos doing a good job, at least to this point, of not fueling the Chiefs.
We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes and Trent McDuffie, Hollywood Brown, coming up in just a little bit. I think Mahomes is expected in the next minute or so. We'll have that for you here on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, coming up a little bit later on in the hour, we'll get back into something we discussed a little bit earlier today, which is the similarities between the 2025 Broncos and the 2024 Chiefs. Plus, at 12:30, Kansas basketball, not so much the game last night, but what may or may not have happened or is going on with Darren Peterson. And whether or not you think load management is happening, do we think load management will start to happen more for these top tier players that could be, you know, first overall pick, top five picks in the NBA draft? That was certainly a conversation out of last night's game. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Don't forget on Wednesdays, our lunch sponsor here on Cody and Gold, Jefferson's. It's football season. Obviously, there's no better place to watch your favorite team than Jefferson's. Great daily specials, great happy hour. Locations in Lenexa, North KC, Lawrence, Topeka, Joplin. Bring your friends and family out to Jefferson's for the ultimate game day experience. Jefferson's wings, burgers, oysters. And on Wednesdays, you guys know that this time is when you can win a $50 gift card from Jefferson's. So we'll go ahead and take, Ben, give me a number. Give me a number.
417.
17. Caller 17.
I'm kidding. Five. Let's go five.
Caller five. Okay.
Let's make it easy.
913-586-7965. Caller 5, Drew. Caller number 5, 913-586-7965. We'll get a $50 gift card to Jefferson's, our Wednesday lunch sponsor. How about that, Bink?
It is.
I'm caller, just, we're 400 and what?
I was joking about
number
that.
Number 15, how about Patrick Mahomes? He's speaking now.
They have, I mean, you have five really good defensive linemen that can all win in different ways. And they have guys that rotate in and play well, play good as well. And so they know what their scheme is. They know how to get after the quarterback. And so for us, it's just having great protection schemes, changing up the looks for them so they can't just tee off. And then I think just going out there and getting the ball in my hands whenever I need to and then take shots whenever I need to as well.
From a bi-week self-scouting standpoint, like from one half to the other, I guess if there's one point of emphasis for yourself, you know, what are you focusing on maybe being better at in the second half?
Yeah, I think just staying true to the progression sometimes as the games go on. I think if I look back, especially at the Bills game in general, I think I started off pretty well going through my progressions, but as the game went on, getting away from that. And so trying to be better at that and then trying to settle myself down in some of those moments. But we did a lot of good things. It's just about being more consistent on a week-to-week basis.
What are those self-scout things? Like after the Bills game, Harrison was saying he was picking up tendencies on Worthy and stuff like that. I mean, number one, is it possible to happen? Did you see it when you went back and looked at things, and how do you prevent that?
I didn't necessarily see it, but, I mean, obviously if you said it, he saw something, and so we'll be better at looking at things like that. I appreciate the info so that we can be better at that as the season goes on.
Hey, Patrick, your OC at Texas Tech, Eric Morris, is having a big year at North Texas. Mm-hmm. What helped you the most that you learned from him just developing as a young quarterback?
Yeah, I think he has a good feel for making you comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, he obviously can see talent. You look at all the quarterbacks he's been with through all the different stops he's been in. But he gives you confidence to go out there and be yourself and play the game the way you're supposed to play, and he'll change the offense for that. And so it's not surprising to me that he's had so much success. And He's had a ton of success this year in North Texas, and I saw him this last offseason. And it's cool to see, like, his kids were like babies, and now they're getting older now, and it's cool to see that stuff as well. So I'm sure that he'll continue to have success either at North Texas or wherever he ends up at.
Speaking of Tech, how'd you do on your picks? Do you know what your record ended up being?
I don't know what my record was, but I think I did. I'm really good on the actual picks. I don't know the spreads and stuff. I don't get a lot of practice at that, you know. They don't let us do that stuff, so it's I don't think I did good with those, but I did good on my actual games and who won the game. So it was fun, though. The game day was amazing. I mean, I grew up watching. I still watch it. And I think just the atmosphere in Lubbock, you can tell how much everybody appreciates the team, appreciates how much success they're having, and they're going to enjoy the moment. And I thought that was really cool.
How big is this game? I realize they're all big, but how big is this game against this team?
Yeah, I mean, they're first in the division, and they have a couple games on us. And so it's huge for the division, and that's always our first goal is win the division. And so it's a really good football team. There's no way around it. And so we have to go out there and play our best football, and I don't think we've done that yet. After this bye, let's go out there, put a great week of practice together, and find a way to win in a hostile environment against a great football team.
You guys are generally the ones who are a couple of games up on everyone else in the division at this time of the year. You know, the tables have turned a little bit here. Does it feel different? What's the desperation? I don't know. What's it feel like for you guys right now?
I mean, I think you understand this game's important. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, it's a divisional game, and they're always important. But with them having the lead and us needing to go out there and win to have a chance to win the division, I think guys understand that. But at the same time, all we can do is have a great day today. And we're having a great week of practice, put that together, and then go out there and play our best football. And I think if we play our best football, we can win against anybody. And so we have to go out there with that mindset of let's play our best football this weekend.
Patrick, the division streak here predates you. So how much pride do you take in the consistency of having that every single year?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's always our first goal. It's like the first goal we have that Coach Reed puts up is win a division, and we understand that it's always a challenge. And you have to go up against really good football teams that are scouting you all year long. And so we've been really good at that over these last, what is it, 7, 8, 9 years, whatever it is. And so we got to continue to get better and better. And we have a lot of division games in front of us. And so if we can go out there and handle business and do what I think we can do, we can find a way to win this division. And so everything is kind of out in front of us. We just have to go out there with the right mindset.
Are you
there? No matter who starts a left tackle, are you just full steam ahead, or are there things that you want to do to try and reintegrate Josh, whether he starts or not?
No, I mean, you're full steam ahead. I think that's what's so great about football is that you have to go out there and have the same mindset, the same mentality, and we're super excited to have Josh back and just being back in the building, and we'll get him out in the practice field and see where he's at. But I think you saw with both those guys, they can both play at a very high level, and so I think Coach will make that decision as the week goes on, but I have confidence in both of them that they'll go out there and have success.
Kind of in our follow-up to Sam, I guess, how concerned or how much you have to be aware of Nick Benito, 15, of how he can maybe wreck your game plan?
Yeah, I mean, great pass rusher. I mean, he's someone that can really get out to the quarterback. He's smart. He does a lot of spying on me as well, and so he's a really good football player. And just like the other guys, man, they got a lot of sacks for a reason. They got a lot of guys, Zach Allen inside and Cooper on the other side. They got guys everywhere that can make plays, and so just not letting them make a play that just completely disrupts the entire game. Just kind of getting the ball out of your hands, trying not to take sacks, and then let the game come to you.
Patrick,
what type of winning the division of being a couple games back, but I think you still, I don't think the tiebreaker would be charging, but you still might control your own destiny as far as that goes because you have those games head-to-head, but this would be it, right? There's no more margin for error after that. Is that something that you're aware of that you look at? Does that make that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you lose this game, it's going to be with them having the tiebreaker and the would that be like four games ahead of us? It'd be tough to go back and get that one. But all you can do is just handle this week, and that's all you can really worry about. And we still play a lot of great football teams, but like I said, I feel like if we play our best, we can beat anybody. And so we have to just continue to get better and better, be more consistent throughout games and throughout week to week, and that starts with practice today.
Bye.
Patrick, also related to that, I mean, how much do you feel like having that as the first goal and being successful at it with the divisions has really been the underpinning for everything else you guys have been able to do? I mean, I know you can get to the playoffs without it, but I mean, how much has that been like foundational to
I mean, first off, you get the home game at Arrowhead, which is, I think is huge, and we've proved that we can go on the road and win, but just being able to play at Arrowhead is an advantage. I mean, with the noise and the atmosphere, and you can feed off the crowd and stuff like that, and so And it kind of checks that first box for you to show that you've accomplished something in the year, and now it's built on to the next goal. And so it's been something that's been important to us. And so we'll still have that mindset of finding a way to win it this year. But it all starts with this week.
And this is just a little unrelated, but you alluded to it with being conscious of the betting stuff. How much has the NBA and MLB stuff been present in your mind? And do you feel like the safeguards are all in place well in the NFL?
I mean, they let us know. I mean, the NFL and the NFLPA kind of tell us all the different rules that you can and can't do. I just stay away from it just because I don't want to put myself in that position. I mean, that's something that your life's so great. Why mess with it, you know? And so it does get, I think more than anything, to me, it gets weird sometimes when, like, you have fans talking about it just because, like, you're just trying to go out there and live your life and play the game. And sometimes they get really attached to them even more than, like, the regular fan because they have money on the line. And so for me to them, I would just say don't do anything that you can't recuperate or live without. And so it's a crazy world we live in these days, seeing all this stuff happen. But I think you just focus on the football and focus on the sport that you love and why you're here. Then you don't have to worry about all that other stuff.
Todd, on that front, you went 7-2 apparently on your picks. That's what I've been texting. Tied with Dave Bergazzi for first place so far. So down with the tech thing, you've got your NIL folks down there that you've done, and Cody Campbell's been right on the forefront of all this stuff, but he's also trying to rein it in a little bit with some of those commercials we see all the time. Did you guys have discussions down there? Your crystal ball, where do you think this is going to go in the next couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're going to find something with the revenue sharing that will help kind of stabilize it a little bit. I mean, you want people to get paid, and you want people to get paid as much as they can. But at the same time, you don't want that to affect other sports as well. And I think that's what Cody's is so big on, is he wants to keep the integrity of college football and with guys being able to make money that will change their families' lives. And so I don't know exactly what that's going to be, if that's limiting the amount of times you can transfer or if that's having ways that you can spread the money across all the sports. But I think Cody does it the right way, and I think that's why and Texas Tech does it the right way, and I think that's why they're having so much success, because you've seen teams kind of do the NIL thing and not work out. But they're doing it with a basis of going there to love to play the game of football with money that will change your family's lives. And I think that's what it's got to be all about at the end of the day.
Last one, Steve.
A few games you guys have lost this season. You've always talked about, you know, the lack of energy. During the bye week, have you been able to put your finger on why that is?
I wouldn't say necessarily. I mean, I think more than anything, it's just being able to battle through adversity and some of these tight, close, contested games. It's something that we've kind of always just been able to do, and it hasn't happened this year. And so I think going into the bye, I think that was a main point for all of us, was just let's find a way to battle through that adversity. And the season's kind of been a microcosm of the whole of these close games that we've been playing in, is that we haven't been able to win in these big moments that we've used to. And so in order to get to where we want to get to, we got to learn how to do that, and I think that all starts this week.
Anything you've done differently, you know, in the close games that you played last year compared to this year?
I think just if I look back at just the Bills game and at the very end of the Bills game, it's just maybe not going for that big play so early, just trying to get the ball out of my hands and get the drive going. That's something that I've always been good at, but at the same time, I got to keep the aggressive mindset. So just kind of working with stuff like that.
So that was Patrick Mahomes speaking to the media here on 96.5 The Fan. A couple different topics there mixed in with some college football discussion. Of course, he was the college game day picker for the big game this past Saturday when Texas Tech defeated BYU. He went 7-2 in the games that he picked, including he did pick Texas A&M over Missouri. We were joking about that because in our group chat with Barber thought he should have picked Missouri. Like, no, pick the team that you think is going to win, and he was correct. Also spoke about the gambling stuff. We asked Vinny Pasquantino about that. And the one thing you've heard from both of them there is that the fan interaction at times, right, can get out of control. And then also that these leagues tell all these players every single season before every single thing they can and cannot do, whether it's sports betting or not, to stay out of trouble and everything like that. This is not new information being provided to these athletes.
It's pretty cut and dry, too.
If right.
You're a baseball player.
Right.
Don't bet on baseball. Everything else, go ahead. No baseball or softball. Wasn't that what Vinny said to you yesterday? I did hear a little bit of that.
Yep.
Baseball or softball, don't do it. But yeah, people are interested in a lot more things now, obviously. Injury reports, players being injured, are they back in practice? There's a lot more things people are more interested in than they have been in the past. But I can't imagine, and it was one thing with the players, because Jeremy Guthrie used to be a weekly guest. You know, he was asking, How do you even turn on Twitter or anything with people criticizing you every performance? Like, you go out and have a bad performance. I've talked about it with other players back when Brett Phillips played here and stuff too, because he was picked off third. It's like, do you even go check it? Because no one's real money's on the line at that point. Now that it is, you know it's elevated when players in fantasy football, these players hear it all the time.
Sure.
Their fantasy numbers from like, hey man, why aren't you in the end zone? I mean, they hear it all the time.
The other thing that both Andy and Patrick were asked about, we discussed this, I think last Tuesday, maybe before I left, about what the Bills player Hairston said with the Xavier Worthy's tendencies and all that. I want to get into that, but Hollywood Brown, I'm sorry, Trey McDuffie is speaking right now.
I mean, I feel like guys around here, we don't really look at that stuff, you know. We kind of approach each week, each game the same way. I mean, we knew coming back after the bye week, every game's going to be like a playoff game because that's what we got to get ready for. So not really looking at stats or anything like that, really just focus on how we can beat the next team.
Trent, as you evaluated yourself during the bye week in these first couple of days, like what stood out?
Honestly, honestly, it always just goes back to details, you know. Things we messed up, we realized what we messed up. Some things we can easily clean up, and when you get to this age of the season, I mean, it always just goes back to how disciplined you are with the details and how well we can play within our defense. So moving forward, I think we got to just continue to stack each day and continue to just keep getting better.
Trent, what do you see from this Broncos offense overall?
Confident group, you know, they play well together, and we know coming from this group, they're a proud group. So always love playing guys that care about a game, guys that do really good at the small things, and what they've been doing has been really good, so we expect a challenge.
They're doing some things this year that you guys did the previous 2 years, win close games.
Yeah.
And can you talk about your experience in that, and when you start winning a few of those, how much that feeds into the confidence?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you said, it just brings confidence, you know. I think looking at it from our end, it just shows that they play all four quarters, you know, until the time hits zero, they're going to give it their all, so. Going into it, you know that you're going to have to play, no matter what the score is, a good four quarters. So we're looking forward to that.
Trent, we talked about after you guys had lost a few games, the defense just you guys shot yourself in the foot over the bye week. How much have you looked at that, those things that you need to correct?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, look at it a little bit. You know, I think it's something that with so much time, you kind of get lost in. You can say, oh, there's so many things you got to fix where – when you just pull your eyes back, yeah, we have a few mistakes, but we've been playing really good football. So can't really change from what we've been doing good. And got to really just build upon the things that we're strong in our strong suits. And, yeah, we can clean up some of the little mistakes, stuff like that. But moving forward, all positivity and just going to move forward.
Trent, we saw you play a lot more slot with Noel last week in Buffalo. Just what stood out about his growth to you and just his ability to handle more work right now?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, any rookie coming into the NFL is really hard. You know, you got to not only learn a playbook, but you got to just learn how to be a pro. And that's one of them kids from the second he stepped in here, I could just tell he's a pro. You know, he's got the right head on his shoulders and somebody where he's just continuing to learn and grow. You know, he takes the coaching points. When he's confused, he comes to the vets. And he's been someone that when they put him out there, he makes plays. So the confidence in him and the confidence just all around the defense in him, he's at a great spot.
You were obviously in that spot at one point. Like, I know you only know Spags' defense, but
yeah.
I just wonder if you could describe maybe the complication of being fully prepared so early as a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to Spags' defense, I mean, one thing that always stuck out to me is the defense can change at any point. You know, we can have a base defense this game. That will change next week. That will change next week. And, I mean, we doing little rules that change within certain play calls. So, you just got to be on your details and understand what you're doing in that week. And that can be a little difficult at times, but once coming by Friday and we've gone through it, we made our mistakes throughout the week. The coaches do a good job at kind of simplifying the game plan and going into the game, knowing what we're going to do.
Last one, Matt.
Trent, you had a pretty cool event at the Solace House last night. Can you tell us a little bit about what they do and why that's important to you?
Yeah, the event actually was for the My Cause, My Cleats. So my foundation, the T22 McDuffie Foundation, is partnering with the Solace House. And it's just a group where children, teens, adults can go and get grief therapy. So last night we were able to bring, I think it was like 10 families. We had like 15 kids there, and we were decorating cookies, making arts and crafts, like playing Jenga, playing Uno, and just spending a little time where I can just be in front of them and be like, I know what you're going through. You know, I've experienced what you're going through. and just bring some awareness to it, because everybody's got to go through it. Everybody experiences grief, so being able to have just a place where you can get around people that all have experienced the same thing, I feel like it's really cool, super special, and that's kind of why I want to highlight them this year.
There you go. Trent McDuffie speaking to the media at the end there about his charity and event he was doing last night in Kansas City. Also was asked about Noel Williams. We're going to talk about Noel Williams a little bit more tomorrow, because I don't think we recognize maybe enough how good he has been when he's been on the field. It's been limited, but there was some numbers that have been circulating from PFF, actually. I know we don't like PFF, but these aren't even a grade. These are just flat out facts. It's not a grade for Noel Williams. They are facts and how well he shuts down guys when he's in coverage. And so we'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. Real quick, we got to get to a break, but what did you go? I was saying this before McDuffie. Xavier Worthy, clearly there were some tendencies that the Bills picked up on. Mahomes was asked about it and was like, well, thanks for the heads up, basically. Like, every player has tendencies. The whole point of watching film also is to see if you could pick up on tendencies. This is not unique to Xavier Worthy. However, it was something that clearly the Bills picked up on. The good news is, in case you didn't know you were doing it, if you're worthy, you now are going to be able to correct that.
It was great information. I'm shocked that he was able to get it. Thank you, Buffalo, for that. Once again, thank you, Buffalo, for doing that. But it gives you the tendencies. But yeah, make no mistake about it. Baseball, I know a lot's made about the tendencies of pitchers and tipping pitches. It happens in football all the time, especially sign stealing and everything else that happens in football. That's become a big issue in college football with college coaches talking about it. But yeah, the offensive line, whether your hand's down and you can see the knuckles, whether they're wide or not, whether you're run or not. I mean, tendencies have always been a big part of football, but nobody usually tells you that. So maybe
I don't know why Hairston of the Bills, like, honestly, why would you say that publicly?
It's interesting if he
might see that team again. Why would you
I'm surprised he did that. And was he really picking up on it, or was he just kind of guessing at it? Was it actual tells or not? I mean, that's the question. They'll go back and look at it. Was he doing anything different for certain plays? And they'll correct. That's an easy thing to correct.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. This Sunday, stream the Chiefs at the Broncos live at 3:25. Then stay for the premiere of the new season of the hit original series Landman, all on Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, I want to get into the similarities of the 2025 Broncos to the 2024 Chiefs. And Drew has a random question, or Bink. We'll see if Bink has a good one. Where's next. Cody?
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there.
So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will get to the random question of the day. I was told Bink has got us today on that.
Bink and I fought, and Bink did not win. So as a result, Bink had to do the random question.
There's been a lot of fighting talk on the show today. During the break, you guys got to chill out.
Drew just wants to fight somebody. We've been getting along very well, actually.
Yeah, we have.
Much better.
Very well. We've been, he's a weekly guest on Sunday. He comes on, talks some college football. Drew and I have found that thing that
we
works.
Squashed the beef. Yeah.
Good. We squashed the beef.
I'm glad to hear. That's awesome.
Yeah. Now he wants to, I have to train him to fight somebody.
Yeah.
Got him to shoot a firework, got him to slam a beer. Now it's time to teach Drew how to fight.
By when? How long you got? Who's
when's
he fighting?
When's your first match?
I don't know. You tell me all I'm doing. If I'm doing the fighting, you're like the manager. I need you to tell me.
I'll find somebody for you to fight by spring.
Perfect. That goes back to our trash of the day if you missed it in the 11 o'clock hour. By the way, coming up in 25 minutes, we'll get back into the Chiefs Stadium conversation. Some comments from Missouri Governor Mike Keogh that were interesting, that were different, frankly, than what we had heard from anybody on the Missouri side before. I thought it was kind of interesting. So we'll get that in just a bit. Meanwhile, let's get back into the Chiefs and the Broncos, Bank. And what you and I were discussing off air, and then I guess Mitch Holthus also was on with Fesco and Dusty yesterday, I think it was.
Friday is his Friday appearance.
Friday, yeah. Okay. And he mentioned how similar this Broncos team is to the Chiefs from a year ago. Now, as Ross Tucker, our guest, told us earlier, yeah, there's a huge difference, though. Patrick Mahomes exists instead of Bo Nix in this scenario where the Chiefs...
I think we all agree on that.
So we all agree there. However, winning close game after close game, not looking all that impressive, being like, okay, they seem kind of beatable. Kind of the same vibe of the 2025 Broncos as we had for the 2024 Chiefs. Now, I'm not saying the Broncos are going to the Super Bowl, because if you tell a Broncos fan they're the same as the Chiefs last year, they'll say, oh, we're winning 15 games and we're 14 games. And
yeah, they're still booing.
You know what I mean? Bo Nix is the biggest issue with this comp. Now, I know you have some numbers that show the similarities, too. But the Chiefs are favorites on Sunday by 3.5 points against Denver. Most people still think the Chiefs are a better football team than the Denver Broncos.
No, I get it. And keep in mind, the Ravens were actually favored at Arrowhead Stadium, regardless of the injuries that everybody used as an excuse after the Chiefs beat them. But Baltimore's already banged up before they play the Chiefs. So, and Lamar Jackson did start that game and play till he had to get out of the game at that point. But yes, the Denver Broncos offense, that's the one thing about football. Watch it with your own eyes. Are you winning or losing? And losing teams find a way at the end to lose games. Now, statistically, offensively, because don't forget, yes, Mahomes and Bo Nix, there is a difference. But Mahomes didn't have a lot of his weapons last year. He's got a full complement of weapons, and his offensive line is playing as good as anybody in the NFL. Right. So that bodes well for him. And that defense is clearly an elite pass rush. We had Tucker at least agreed on that part of it. But, I mean, 16th to 15th in points per game between the two. 1 point difference between how the 24 Chiefs were and the 25 Broncos, and that's 25 Broncos actually better. They're 13th in total offense. That's top half of the NFL. Chiefs were in the bottom half of the NFL last year on total offense. They found a way to block field goals to win, Doinker and Carolina to win. You know, they were playing bad football teams and barely beating them at times. And they haven't, but they're finding a way to win and just sneeze and poo-poo it like, the Broncos offense. I know their fans are booing and stuff like this, but they forget the fourth quarter is the only quarter that matters. That's, you want your quarterback to play well in all of them. The good news for them is he's playing good at the end. And this team has gone through Philadelphia and won a game as well.
The question will be when you face Kansas City, and some of these things are the same conversations we did have about, or people outside of Kansas City had last year about the Chiefs, as though, like, if you face a quality, high quality opponent, and you referenced the Eagles game for the Broncos, that was their best win they've had all year.
Especially a road game.
It was on the road, very impressive. Although, on the same thing, you look at the Eagles this year, they don't look all that impressive, but we all agree like they're probably one of the best teams in football, right? Yet they're kind of boring. Their defense is awesome as well. And they're kind of boring. So they're both actually fairly similar. One texter even says they think they're the same. I think the Broncos playing Kansas City, though, what you just said about Bo Nix, that's not good enough to win. Bo Nix plays bad for three quarters and has one great fourth quarter. I don't think the Broncos can win that game.
That's why you got to stomp them early for the Chiefs. Get that crowd to start turning on the Denver Broncos. The Broncos players aren't happy about what happened there and getting booed at their home stadium. That was embarrassing for them. Bo Nix had to address that all week. Hey, your fans are all over you. You've heard the sentiment. The sentiment with the Broncos fan is much different than we've seen before. Like, Bills fans are, you know, peacocking out and everything before the game and very, you know, strutting their stuff and, hey, we're going to beat the Chiefs and all this. Denver's much different. They're going into this game like, we're not quite to the Chiefs point yet, but they don't realize what's in front of them, and they also don't realize their own history. They don't realize that when Manning won a Super Bowl for them 15, it was about their defense. Manning's numbers were very average to below average.
Yeah, he was not good. Season. He was not good the year they won the Super Bowl.
And it was about that defense. It's very similar to that team that won a Super Bowl in 2015. They just don't really understand what's in front of them, because if you're going to go on a run and you're going to stamp your, you know, yourself as a dynasty, you're going to have your offense is great, your defense is great. The most consistent thing is you always have to stay great. The Patriots did it. They did it several different ways with their offense, the defense. The Chiefs have done it with offense, the defense, back to kind of being both at this point. So whether they're kind of a well-rounded team right now, despite the record. But yeah, if you're going to go on these runs, with NFL and every team having the same salary cap, you've got to figure it out, man. You have to draft well, and you have to have a belief. They have the right guy that's won a ring. He knows what it is to win the postseason.
I think they're a very good team.
They're stuck with Bo Nix. I get that. They're stuck in that situation. They tried to get rid of the Russell Wilson stench that they had that with all the money they had to pay him. But the bottom line is they're finding ways to win, and that's all that
matters.
Huge.
Yeah, that's all that matters. And again, if they beat the Chiefs on Sunday, to me, they're winning this division. I don't think the Chargers are better than the Broncos.
Their schedule's very easy. It's 4-game lead at that point.
So the Broncos are very, very good at all that. My thing, and I'll go, I said this before, I don't know, maybe middle of October last year, and it's kind of what you just said about Bo Nix, but I think the best thing, if you're a Chiefs fan, well, this year the Broncos have 8 wins, still was watching Bo Nix last year, watching him this year. He's going to be the guy he's good enough, obviously. He's going to get a second contract in Denver. He's going to be their franchise quarterback for a decade or more. The beautiful thing is he's not ever going to be a top 5, top 7, top 8 quarterback in football. I said this to he's going to be Derek Carr or better, but that's it. He's going to be their guy. You don't have to. The Chiefs do not have a Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, you know, those kind of quality quarterback in their division that is going to, in my opinion, over and over prevent you. Now, there can be one-off years. Heck, Derek Carr was an MVP guy, almost won MVP if he didn't get hurt late in the season in 2016? I don't remember the exact year. But he finished in the top 2 or 3 in voting for MVP. There can be outlier years. But if you have a Josh Allen, a Mahomes, a Burrow, Lamar in your division, that guy can prevent you for 5 years from getting to where you want to be, or a decade. So the beautiful thing about what is still happening in Denver, Bo Nix has been good enough that they're not running him out of town. He's going to get the contract. And so they're not going to have the quarterback that long-term, to me, is going to prevent you from getting to where you need to go. Now, this year, they might be better than you. I mean, eventually the math is the math. If the Chiefs are 5-5 and the Broncos have 9 wins after Sunday, then the Chiefs are done in the AFC West.
The bottom line is this. Are they built for sustained success? And the answer is no. They could be a very good team in short windows when the defense is great. When their defense has an elite pass rush, that defense can carry them, right? And that defense has carried them through certain games this year. This team, make no mistake about it, if the defense ever slips down to bottom half of the NFL, Bo Nix isn't good enough, in my opinion, to lead the Broncos to the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, do that. But when their defense is elite, they can. That's why they have to take advantage of this. The Chiefs can withstand, you know, the defense being the primary way they win, or the offense being the primary way they win. Because they have Mahomes. Bo Nix, I don't look at him as a guy, all of a sudden that defense is just very average. That Bo Nix can carry the Denver Broncos to a different level. He needs that defense to be elite to do it. Where Mahomes is different is he's proven he can do it both ways, with the defense kind of leading the way or the offense. I don't see Bo Nix without that elite defense being capable. The thing is, he's got it now. Like, it's here. It's here. It's not going anywhere this year. Now, in the future, when guys get their contracts or if Zach Allen moves on or whatever, and Benito, that's fine. But for now, with this team, this group he's got right now, the belief they have, they can win. That's the problem with them at this point. Sustained success?
Yeah.
I don't see it because Bo Nix isn't Justin Herbert, not as good as the other quarterbacks, and a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
He's the 15th to the 18th best quarterback.
He's not, but when you pair that defense with him, he can win. Because we've seen very mid quarterbacks win in the NFL with elite defenses. That has happened.
Yeah, and they're usually outliers, though. They're outlier-type seasons. I mean, look.
I think Bo Nix is an outlier, to be honest with you.
Drake May hasn't accomplished anything yet, but I've already seen Drake May look worlds better than Bo Nix has ever looked. I'm sorry.
We saw C.J. Stroud looking like this for the Houston. All of a sudden, they're back to being led by their defense.
Yeah, I have not seen like Drake May. I think if anybody, we were to poll people right now, and Drake May hasn't won a division yet. He hasn't won a playoff game yet, right? Drake May would easily be the answer that everybody would pick is who they'd rather have for the next 5 years. It's not even close versus Bo Nix. So we don't even have to really have much of a Bo Nix Mahomes, like why Bo Nix and Mahomes are different. We know why they're different, but that's the thing and why the Chiefs are favorites on Sunday. If the Broncos had Drake May, the Chiefs would be underdogs on Sunday. I can promise you that.
Yeah, and the motivation level for the Chiefs, because they understand what's at stake for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I just think it's
a good
spot.
Look at Andy Reid, how good he's been after the bye week, and all these things start going into the equation.
All right, let's get to it, Drew.
Random question.
Random question of the day brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Bink has told us he wants the random question for us and for the text line, 913-586-7965.
It's not exactly how it went, but I will say this. So last night I'm doing the show. And started seeing a little bit of here and there about the sky. The sky was pink and the sky was green. Uh-huh. Right. It's, and then you see the aurora research on it, and had Jason Hine producing the operation. He follows these things and the aurora that was out there.
The Northern Lights.
The Northern Lights. And I only had Northern Lights pizza in the past. I didn't know much about Northern Lights. It was kind of a once in a lifetime type experience. So we started getting people trying to use the text line for it, but we clearly reminded them that we can't get your pictures on the text line. Because if we could, people would send their butt or their middle finger or whatever. We don't get pictures.
Thank goodness we don't.
But I was getting
thanks for the examples.
You're welcome. I was getting texts from people out looking at these lights. And we had calls from remote areas of the city. I heard from a farmer last night on the show with the text. He was out on his tractor on his field. And he was watching the Northern Lights. And people were sending these pictures. The news had pictures from the sky cams and stuff, the city cams that were out there for this Northern Light. So my question is, do you get excited about this? So between 9 and midnight, when you're supposed to be able to see this, and the Northern Lights really started to captivate people, but last night, tonight's
supposed to be better.
Tonight's supposed to be better, and last night was pretty good. It started about 8 o'clock where people could really see it, but are you caught up in this? It's kind of like the eclipse. Remember the eclipse back in the day?
Yeah.
Henry and I did a show live from Worth Hardly. It was an eclipse show, and then the eclipse came, and people got their glasses. They were buying their fancy glasses everywhere whatever, to watch the eclipse. Like, are you buying in this? Does this make you happy when there's a natural phenomenon that happens, like Northern Lights or like, the eclipse?
Mm-hmm.
Are you into these type of things? Because clearly people were. Are you interested in this? Or are you going to sit there and watch action like me, probably?
No, absolutely. I think it's very cool. I think these are going to kind of, especially with the Northern Lights, we're not like, quote unquote, supposed to ever be able to see this from Kansas City. So,
and again, my only experience was pizza from Northern Lights.
Yes. No, I think it's all very cool. The eclipse.
Do you think it's cool? You're going to watch it or are you going to sit at home and watch after your
show? I was answering. I will tonight go and try to make sure I am checking it out. Last night I did not. I saw everybody's post. Quite honestly, I was not aware that was going on. I was kind of checked out. Tonight I'm well aware of it, and tonight I will seek it out.
Me and Drew do this for the show tomorrow, and we'll go look for the Northern Lights.
Yeah, and you'll see it tonight. I am very excited to check it out. But any of this kind of stuff is cool. When the eclipse that was in 2018, 2017, I think would have been the time frame, somewhere around there. I was in Boise, Idaho, and it was in the path of totality or whatever it's called.
The path of totality.
It was a perfect spot that year in that eclipse or whatever. And so it was.
Did you buy the glasses?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. They were sold them everywhere. I mean, they were you could buy them everywhere. Anyway, so point being, I think that stuff's very cool. I don't want to claim I'm some you know, locked in space nerd and all that kind of stuff the way some people are. But at the same time, I think this kind of stuff is very, very cool, especially the Northern Lights. Normally, you have to travel to be able to see this kind of stuff. The fact that 100%. We're seeing this tonight in Kansas City, in the Midwest, is pretty cool.
And, you know, don't call the authorities and say, I think I see a UFO up there because my sky is, no, it's the Northern Lights that you're seeing. But we got into a conversation about, you know, weather events and, you know, that happened. And I've always said, the best weather people beyond, not the news, it's not the newscasters, not the weather, it's baseball managers. Like Ned Yost, I learned so much from that dude. Like Ned Yost would know the weather. He knew about the pressure. He knew about the system coming in because he had to, starting pitching and everything else. Like that guy do. I'm sure Cotero knows everything too about the weather, but baseball managers to me are the best weather guys that you can find. But as far as natural phenomena, obviously the text line was very interested in it last night. I mean, it really captivated. They didn't really talk about that than Mahomes.
So I did not see it last night like gold. I will plan to go out tonight and see it. I feel like I don't know if I'm in a good spot. I feel like I am. Obviously, I'll be able to go away from, like, I don't know how well you, if you have to be like in the middle of nowhere to see it.
It helps if you're further away from light pollution.
But yeah,
have you ever seen Uranus, Drew?
No, I've not.
Jeez, Spank.
He bought right into it. You walked right into that.
No, I know where you were going with it. I've never seen the planet Uranus. No.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. 913-586-7965.
You've never seen Uranus.
Is Mars or, you know, Jupiter, you can see, like, in the stars or whatever sometimes if it's, like, super bright.
I do think this texter is somewhat right. They said, we don't need every single person to post it on Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram and all that.
Like Halloween photos? Like,
but it doesn't matter. I enjoyed those of you that posted it last night because I was not able to see it. So I thought some of the photos were unbelievably beautiful, some of the photos that people took and posted. So
yeah, get off your phone and experience it with your own two eyes.
Well, some of the but some people, last night you had to be on dark mode on your iPhone to see it.
The naked eye couldn't see it sometimes.
Tonight's supposed to be, you're going to be able to see it without having to take a photo. But last night, some people were saying, depending on where they were at, again, if you're in a neighborhood with all the lights on in the street, it's going to be harder versus if you're a little bit out in the country or whatever.
Yeah. Drew, you can go out and see this with us. We'll go ahead and show you.
No, I think I live in a good spot to be able to go do this because Legends is like on the far stretch of quote unquote Kansas City, Kansas, where I can go
without the
west.
Light.
If I go west from
go north, young man.
I mean, I could go north too. But
people want to know about the Northern
way.
Lights pizza that you keep bringing up.
Well, they used to be a pizza company, right? Northern Lights, does it still exist?
I have no idea.
They're franchised all over the place.
I've never heard of that place.
We're only talking like 15 years ago. I mean, they might even have a Northern Lights.
15 years
Northern
ago,
Lights.
I was 15, Bink.
Drew, stop.
I have no idea about Northern Lights pizza. Yeah. I'm too young maybe for that. I don't know.
Northern Lights, is there actually, I don't know, text line, let us know.
That's Bink's thing, the Northern Lights pizza.
Northern Lights pizza. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you Google it, says Northern Lights Pizza Company right here.
Mm-hmm.
Northern Lights Pete, there's one on, there's one right up north. Prairie View Road's one. It's closed right now. It opens at 4. But yes, there's a Northern Lights pizza. So I didn't make that up.
Thank you.
Drew.
People are asking Drew other advice on planets and stuff.
He's never seen his anus. Uranus.
We got it. Yeah.
Careful.
We got it. What about this? Someone says they were bear hunting in Alaska 2 years ago, 200 miles from the closest human being.
Nice.
Northern Lights, no light pollution, was the craziest thing they've ever seen.
Yeah, Alaska.
I bet.
Yeah, Alaska's the perfect place to see that.
Someone said Northern Lights is in Des Moines. There's a bunch of them up there.
See? This exists.
How do you know? Yeah, but how did you know this?
Because I've had Northern Lights pizza.
When's the last time?
I think it's one of the few places delivered to where I was at. So, yeah, Northern Lights does have pizza.
Okay.
I didn't make this up.
That is the random question of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Bink.
You're welcome.
So we determined you are going to try to watch it tonight.
I'm going to go try to watch it.
I thought you just said you were watching Maction tonight.
Well, probably, but I'll probably stand outside for a minute and see if I can see the damn lights.
Okay. All right.
Someone says, Drew getting asked questions about planets. Doesn't his wife not believe the moon exists?
No, that is true. No. She does believe the moon exists now.
At one point, she did not, though.
It is the moon landing.
Does she believe in Jupiter?
Yeah. She even believes in Pluto. But
Mars.
Pluto is a dwarf planet now, unfortunately. So,
would you go to space, Drew?
If I was guaranteed to come back fully healthy, yes. If I was guaranteed.
Nice.
But it feels like with space, there are no guarantees. So right. I will stay away from that. But if you told me I could go, I would go to the International Space Station for like a night.
Would you?
100%.
For a night. Like
sometimes you might be there for a couple months.
Holiday Inn.
100%.
Sometimes you might be there for a while.
Well, those one astronauts 100%. Within the last, you remember they got stuck up there for an extra 3 months.
Yeah. They were planning, what, for a couple weeks, and all of a sudden we're there for a long, long, long time.
It would be surreal to do that, yes.
But. Let's get some Northern Lights pizza, Drew. Let's go look for some lights. You want to? Get some Northern Lights pizza.
And where are they at? It.
Up north. Preview Road, it says. Call them. There's their number. Google Northern Lights Pizza, Kansas City, and there they are.
I'm actually about to right now. Because
well, look, it says it's right there. It's not very far. NorthernLightsPizza.com. That's their website, Northern Lights.
The closest Northern Lights Pizza to me is, it's by Cody. It's in the Northland, 21 minutes away.
That's what I've been saying.
They open at 4.
Yeah, we're not.
That's what I've been saying, Drew. We can grab some and go look at the damn lights.
This is out by you, isn't it, Bink?
Yes.
That's what he said.
It's not. Yes, Drew.
This is just north of the place that I go to run at.
Yeah. See, you go work out for your fight there. So just grab some pizza. We'll go look for some lights. Get you some nice pictures you can post on Instagram.
Someone said, Drew, there's better odds on you returning from space than Cincinnati winning the Super Bowl. Does that make you feel better or worse about the situation going to space?
It doesn't change my opinion. I mean, I'd still go to space if I know I'm guaranteed to come back.
There's never a guarantee
people,
in anything.
I understand. I think people need to understand this. When you text in about the Cincinnati Bengals being bad, it doesn't bother me. I promise.
It kind of does.
We enjoy your reaction
to
it, Drew.
It really does not.
Especially when you got a Burrow jersey on.
And if you think that Flacco is making Joe Burrow's job harder to get back to, I don't care. If they win games, I don't care if it's Joe Flacco or Joe Burrow or Joe Pesci.
I told you I like Flacco now.
If they win games, I'm happy.
I just enjoy it because I think, you know, Joe Flacco is showing that Joe Burrow, what he's done in Cincinnati, not as impressive, right? You know, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, just not as impressive.
And I will say this. The one thing that does scare me about the Colts happens to do with the Bengals. Lou Anarumo is now their defensive coordinator. That scares me because when he was with Cincinnati.
That gets me ready for next week. I'm excited for that matchup.
I know, but when he was with Cincinnati, he did a good job against the Chiefs. And now he's going to be with the Colts, so they do have that going for them.
All right, up next, guys. We'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. I want to talk about some comments from Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe about the Chiefs and what could happen at a renovated Arrowhead. Plus, is load management already happening in college basketball?
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders,
Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.